Following broadcast is rated M for mature. It may contain adult themes and mild coarse language. The Chef Wanna Media Network recommends listening by a mature audience, and listener discretion is advised. The views expressed on tonight's GLS is those solely of the host and potential questioners individually, and do not reflect those of the entire network, its partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Listener discretion is advised.
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday here on The Generic Live Show, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. However you're choosing to consume the show, we do appreciate it. However you do to choose to consume the show, we always do appreciate it. Now, I do have to say this right off the top of the bat. We've had some technical difficulties getting started with the show. So we are starting a little bit behind the times here. However, we do have a full broadcast still planned. My broadcasting software decided to crap itself right before going live, but we are here and we are going to try and push on as much as possible. And of course, do want to fully... I do want to get to full analysis here of what has happened over in Paris, the devastation that has been caused, the terrorist attack. It has been labeled as such. We will get to what has happened, what developments have undergone here. However, I do want to share a story. A story that happened to me personally. Now that we're back up and running, I do want to share a story that's happened to me personally. What had happened is that I was out running errands on Monday. It's Monday? Yeah, Monday. And I was sitting at the bus stop with a person who, mind you, identified themselves as a hillbilly. When somebody identifies themselves as a hillbilly, you got to know. You know it's true. We were sitting there talking away. Then all of a sudden, a person who I am led to believe be a person of the Jewish faith. I only say that because they had a yarmulke on their head, the traditional head piece of the Jewish folk. He sat down at the bus stop and said that we are the most hated people right now. And the hillbilly turned to this person and said, "Well, I don't hate you." And I interject and say that, "Well, I don't hate you either. It's an 80-20 rule, and this is what this is. This is definitely an 80-20 rule where 80% of the population is good, 20% are bad, but that 20% gets 80% of the media coverage, and the good people only get 20% of the media coverage, which is true in this case. It is very true in this case, and I just want to highlight how important that is as well. Now, it is devastating, and here at GLS, our hearts go out to those who have been affected by this tragic shooting in Paris. But I remember sitting here, and I've covered attacks like this before. I've covered the Sydney siege. I've covered the Boston bombings, and I've now covering the Paris attacks. It's just something that is fascinating of note as well. Just a little bit of political analysis there. It's these mass shootings are happening more often, and the Western world, we're sitting on our bums doing nothing. Doing nothing. Well, not anymore, but prior to these attacks, doing nothing. Or not enough, depending on how you perceive the world. So, what we know from the main killing that took place on Sunday night. The final death toll, well, the death toll stands at 129. The mastermind of the attacks has been named as Belgian Adel Hamad Aboud. I believe I'm saying that correctly. The French president told Parliament that the attacks were an act of war and said that France were committing to destroying the Islamic State. The French military campaign against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria are set to intensify, which is obvious on the back of these attacks. And I just want to say this as well. A bunch of people have come out and said various things on these attacks, and we will get to all of that, and we will get to the events of the attacks coming up shortly. The Islamic State has released a video warning that they will strike Washington, D.C., and more than 20 governors in the U.S. say that they will not accept Syrian refugees in their states following the deadly assault on Paris. Now, that is the bare minimum of what has taken place. That is the minute-long basic what has happened. There has been since a siege in Paris outside the apartment of this killer, and since the shutdown of the broadcasting setup here, we will try and get the up-to-date information on that. Now, the world leaders come out in response to what had happened. What had happened in Paris of the deadly attacks. I do want to play some of these clips alongside the timeline here. Excuse me. They opened fire, I believe, at what is reported to be the local. This is in local time at 8:49 a.m. on Saturday for us, being Friday night for America, that a number of people have been found dead after gunmen opened fire in central Paris. A couple of minutes later, the situation was described as chaotic as the gunman ran the first scene. And they fled the scene and moved to cover more incidents. Four incidents were repeated a mere 10 or so minutes after the first attack. The president has rushed to crisis talks with the Minister for Interior about the night of terror in Paris. He was evacuated from Stade de France after the explosion. The stadium was in lockdown with 75,000 soccer fans watching the game between France and Germany. Diplomatic consultant Christian Mana told CNN the attacks were well organized. That night there were at the end of the first hour there were over 20 people killed, as photos emerge and say of the football stadium and the concert hall. CNN is reporting that police say that it was a terrorist attack, and there were 60 people being held hostage in the Balkan theater. The new report said that 18 people died in the theater. And then the Paris deputy mayor comes out and says the suicide bombers were involved. The sports stadium was then evacuated as witnesses then come out and say that they, as witnesses then emerge from the concert hall. That's where the hashtag Pray for Paris came in, of course. The president of French Football Federation then said that three people had died at the studio gates. Between that, the Paris deputy mayor said that they were actually suicide bombers involved in all of these attacks. Then there were reports at 9:42 local time here. I don't know what the time with conversion would be over there. That there was a fourth shooting underway at Central Las Halles shopping mall in Paris. Then, after this fourth shooting, there was it was claimed that the Deputy Commissioner Catherine Byrne spoke of the events unfolding in Paris at a briefing in Sydney to give details at the latest arrest in the situation of shooting police worker Curtis Chang. When asked by Fairfax Media if it was already highlighted or where amongst officers would have impacted the events unfolding in Paris, she replied with probably. We are now hearing news of deaths in Paris. It is just a tragedy. It is unimaginable what they're going through right now, she said. Then the president declared a state of emergency with borders being closed from anyone leaving or coming in. And here's where we want to break to kind of bring in President Obama and what he had to say. He was the next person to bring you a kind of perspective on these attacks. Here is President Obama on these attacks.
Good evening, everybody. I just want to make a few brief comments about the attacks across Paris tonight. Once again, we've seen an outrageous attempt to terrorize innocent civilians. This is an attack not just on Paris. It's an attack not just on the people of France, but this is an attack on all of humanity and the universal values that we share. We stand prepared and ready to provide whatever assistance that the government and the people of France need to respond. France is our oldest ally. The French people have stood shoulder to shoulder with the United States time and again. And we want to be very clear that we stand together with them in the fight against terrorism and extremism. Paris itself represents the timeless values of human progress. Those who think that they can terrorize the people of France or the values that they stand for are wrong. The American people draw strength from the French people's commitment to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We are reminded in this time of tragedy that the bonds of liberté, égalité, and fraternité are not only values that the French people care so deeply about, but they are values that we share. And those values are going to endure far beyond any act of terrorism or the hateful vision of those who perpetrated the crimes this evening. We're going to do whatever it takes to work with the French people and with nations around the world to bring these terrorists to justice and to go after any terrorist networks that go after our people. We don't yet know all the details of what has happened. We have been in contact with French officials to communicate our deepest condolences to the families of those who've been killed, to offer our prayers and thoughts to those who've been wounded. We have offered our full support to them. The situation is still unfolding. I've chosen not to call President Hollande at this time because my expectation is that he's very busy at the moment. I actually, by coincidence, was talking to him earlier today in preparation for the G20 meeting. But I am confident that I'll be in direct communications with him in the next few days, and we'll be coordinating in any ways that they think are helpful in the investigation of what's happened. This is a heartbreaking situation, and obviously those of us here in the United States know what it's like. We've gone through these kinds of episodes ourselves. And whenever these kinds of attacks happened, we've always been able to count on the French people to stand with us. They have been an extraordinary counterterrorism partner, and we intend to be there with them in that same fashion. I'm sure that in the days ahead, we'll learn more about exactly what happened, and my teams will make sure that we are in communication with the press to provide you accurate information. I don't want to speculate at this point in terms of who was responsible for this. It appears that there may still be live activity and dangers that are taking place as we speak. And so until we know from French officials that the situation is under control and we have more information about it, I don't want to speculate. Okay? Thank you very much.
That was President Obama. That was President Obama on the situation in France. It is tough to make these calls, but I do want to get out the UK Prime Minister's speech as well, because I believe that speech was also impactful. Here is David Cameron in his speech to the people of the United Kingdom on the back end of this terrible situation in France. Here is David Cameron, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, on the Paris attacks.
My message to the French people is simple. Nous sommes solidaires avec vous. Nous sommes tous ensemble. We stand with you, united. While the full picture of what happened is still emerging, we know that there were multiple terror incidents across Paris and over 120 people are feared dead, with many more injured. We must be prepared for a number of British casualties and we're doing all we can to help those caught up in the attack. These were innocent victims enjoying a Friday night out with friends and family, no doubt at the end of a hard week. They were not seeking to harm anyone. They were simply going about their way of life, our way of life. And they were killed and injured by brutal, callous murderers who want to destroy everything our two countries stand for. Peace, tolerance, liberty. But we will not let them. We will redouble our efforts to wipe out this poisonous extremist ideology, and together with the French and our allies around the world, stand up for all we believe.
Okay, a little bit of a fade out there on the clip there. That was a little bit strange. I don't know what's going on there. As we continue here on GLS, we will bring you more reaction to the Paris attacks, of course. As we continue here on GLS, it's 10:22.
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Hello, thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday here on The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Yes, we are having a little bit of a serious first hour to the program today. We are, of course, trying to unpack everything to do with the Paris attacks over the past week. It has stopped the international media, of course. We do have some audio clips that I do want to share with people as well to try and help kind of bring all this together and kind of show reactions as well. I want to play, because this kind of came out next in the timeline, I want to play Australian Foreign Minister Bishop's statement to people, basically just giving them, and also this is kind of relevant still, and we'll bring you the latest on what is happening over in France. Foreign Minister Bishop trying to provide information on what, if you have people over in France, how you can kind of get a contact of them. So here is Bishop with that.
We understand that these six separate terrorist attacks commenced at around 9:30 p.m. Friday 13th of November in the heart of Paris. The death toll is at least 100 and rising. The numbers are still very fluid and we are in contact with the French authorities. This is indeed a Black Friday for France and for the world. I have been in contact with our ambassador in France, Stephen Brady. There are no reports of any Australians killed or injured at this stage. However, there are 2,500 Australians registered in France at present. We believe the number of Australians in France would be much higher. We have offered all assistance to the French authorities and we stand in solidarity with the French people in condemning these horrific and devastating attacks. I have, in the early hours of this morning, spoken to the acting Prime Minister, Warren Truss, and the other ministerial members of the National Security Committee of Cabinet. I've also spoken with our head of ASIO. Our National Threat Assessment Centre within ASIO is currently monitoring the situation to assess whether there needs to be any changes to Australia's security assessment. At this stage, we do not intend to change the threat level. The implications for Australia at this point are in relation to consular and travel matters for any Australians in France at this time. I have spoken to Prime Minister Turnbull, who is in Berlin, and have shared with him all the information that I have received from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and more particularly our ambassador in Paris. There was one Australian citizen who contacted our emergency consular line. He was in the vicinity of the attacks. We urgently made arrangements to locate him, and I can confirm that he is safe. Our advice is for Australians to take heed of the French government's advice. President Hollande has declared a state of emergency. The French borders have been closed. The Paris metro has been closed. Given that a train leaves the metro every 2 seconds in Paris, it means that there is just no ability to travel around Paris at present. The ambassador reports that the streets are empty, and as people are being urged to stay home, they are heeding that advice. For any Australians who have concerns for themselves or for their loved ones and friends in France, our consular emergency number, it's a 24-hour number, is 1-300-555-135. That's 1-300-555-135. If you are calling from overseas, another number is +61 2-6261-3305. That is +61 2-6261-3305. It is apparent that the French people and their way of life are under attack. No organisation has yet claimed responsibility. We don't know who has carried out these horrendous attacks on innocent people, but it certainly has all the hallmarks of the terrorist attacks that we've seen in recent times by ISIL, Daesh and similar organisations. The French people have been through an exceedingly traumatic time with the Charlie Hebdo attacks, and this again will test their courage and their fortitude.
That is very important information there. Those phone numbers, of course, being crucial. Please do get onto the French embassy if you believe you have a family member. I believe there has only been one report of the Australian in that is being referenced there in Paris. Excuse me. We have breaking news. French President Hollande speaks after French police raid suburban Paris apartment in search for massacre suspects. Officials report two dead, including a woman who exploded her suicide vest. Seven people have been arrested in that. I was preparing for the show earlier, and there was the siege, and there was the siege that also came up on this one as well. The police raid a flat in the suburb of Saint-Denis. The operation began 4:20 a.m. local time, and in the same district as Sadi de France, where the suicide attack detonated the bombs. The siege took place. We actually have, and I was prepping for the show a little bit earlier, we have a clip of what that situation is like down on the ground from John Williams, ABC. I believe he's a foreign correspondent. I can't be too sure. But here is what he has to say about the siege situation. This is a separate incident, mind you. This is a situation that happened at 4:20 a.m. this morning. So it's breaking news as Prime Minister Hollande speaks. And this is in a situation when, before the raids happened, of the situation on the ground by John Williams of the ABC network.
Yes, it does appear that the major operation is over. For about 3 hours, there was shooting, there was sounds of explosions, there was a lull, and then another series of explosions about an hour and a half ago. We were on air at the time when that happened, and it does appear that that brought the whole situation to an end. Now, we still haven't got absolutely confirmed figures, but we believe that three terrorists or suspected terrorists were killed inside that flat, three captured inside, and possibly two arrested outside the flat. So that's another two, possibly, that we hadn't known about. On the other side of that battle, police were injured. We believe that four police were hurt and that a police dog was killed in that operation. But so intense was that battle, especially in the initial phases, that the army was brought in. We still got the army behind this line of police you see here. There are still army troops there, all heavily armed and all still at the ready. More relaxed than they were an hour and a half ago, but still prepared for anything, because we still don't know, of course, if all the terrorists have been, or all the suspects have been rounded up, whether they have sympathisers, whether they could even come to this area. And so these police here are watching us, they're watching the people in this area that have come to see what's happened, to ensure that that nobody tries to get through or tries to commit another act of violence.
Phil, there had been some speculation that perhaps someone had escaped from the apartment, but have police given any more information about that possibility?
No, we don't know. There hasn't been a police warning saying somebody's on the loose, look out, or a specific name, not at all. But there are also media reports that a couple of these people were arrested and that there was somebody virtually tackled in the street and a short distance from here not long ago. Whether that person is related to this or not, or just in the wrong place at the wrong time, we don't know. Clearly the police still on very high alert and making sure that whoever is in this area has a legitimate reason for being here and is not associated with that cell that they've obviously neutralised for the moment. But of course, this is a very fluid situation. We don't know if there are other people in other parts of the city or even other parts of the country.
That is our chief foreign correspondent, Philip Williams, reporting from the northern suburbs of Paris, Saint-Denis. Thank you again for the update.
Thank you.
So that is, we are providing audio that is unedited. That's why it perceives to be long. President Halan is speaking currently after French police raided that apartment in search of the suspect, two dead, including a woman that exploded her suicide vest. Seven people arrested from that. As we continue here on GLS, we will bring you more audio and more analysis on what is happening in the Paris attacks and the recommendation of what this causation is in the media's narrative on what is next for Syrian refugees. As we continue, it's 10:36.
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday here on The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Yes, we are trying to unpackage everything that has happened in Paris over the last week. It's not a week, it's been 5 days since the attacks have taken place within Paris. Of course, Paris has hit back with ISIS with two bomb raids that have bombed popular Syrian areas. And we want to start off this segment by informing you of that by using this report that comes to us. Here is a report for a bomb raid that has occurred in Syrian populous places led by France.
2 days after Islamic State militants claimed responsibility for the deadly Paris attacks, France sends in its response. French warplanes pounded Islamic State positions in Syria, targeting their stronghold Raqqa, their biggest raids against the militants to date. It comes as police in Europe widen their investigations into Friday's coordinated attacks that left more than 130 people dead and hundreds more injured. French police have launched an international hunt for a Belgian-born man they believe helped organize the assaults with two of his brothers. One of the brothers died in the attacks. The other was arrested in neighboring Belgium. Police say two of the suicide attackers who were French have been identified, but the identity of four of the assailants who also died is still under review. Parisians are clearly on edge. An apparent false alarm sent hundreds of people fleeing from a makeshift memorial at one of the attack sites on Sunday. Vigils for the victims continue across the globe, but here at home, the City of Lights is still reeling from the worst atrocity in France since World War II.
That is the French response, the counter attack, if you will. That is what is claimed to be a counter attack on ISIS state, and that is what is happening at the moment. A call internationally to toughen up borders, amongst other things, have been called on the back of this. Basically, a change of behavior has been called by many people as well. We have so much stuff to get through. It is such a devastating part here. A change in behavior has been called by most people. Internationally, basically one of two things is to close the borders of countries, and if not a closed border is happening, then we should not help ISIS, essentially, is what one person argued. That's what's being argued. We need to tighten up our borders, and we need to basically go against ISIS. I don't know about the attacking back when we are attacked mechanism of that sort of style of attacking, but I can assure you that's not my normal value, but I feel passionately about this. And let's play the Ali from the project. Let's play his clip. He basically says that we are helping out ISIS too much. Then we will back it in with the comment about how we need to toughen up as a society to be on the lookout for more of these terrorist attacks. So we will bump in to two audio clips here that analyze people's reaction to the Paris attacks. Here is Ali of the project, and then I think Gil, comes in for analysis on the security of it. So here is those two clips bumped together.
ISIL don't want you to know they would quickly be crushed if they ever faced a proper army on a real battlefield. They want you to fear them. They want you to get angry. They want all of us to become hostile. And here's why. ISIL's strategy is to split the world into two camps. It's that black and white. Again, we know this because they told us. Last year, they declared there is no grey zone in this crusade against the Islamic State. The world has split into two encampments, one for the people of faith, the other for the people of disbelief, all in preparation for the final great war. We're all feeling a million raging emotions right now. I am angry at these terrorists. I'm sickened by the violence, and I'm crushed for the families that have been left behind. But you know what? I won't be manipulated. We all need to come together. I know how that sounds. I know it's a cliche, but it's also true, because it's exactly what ISIL doesn't want. So if you're a member of parliament or a has-been member of parliament preaching hate at a time when what we actually need is more love, you're helping ISIL. They have told us that. If you're a Muslim leader telling your community they have no place here, or a non-Muslim basically saying the same thing, you're helping ISIL. They have told us that. Or if you're just someone with a Facebook or Twitter account firing off misguided missives of hate, you're helping ISIL. They've told us that. And I'm pretty sure that right now, none of us wants to help these bastards.
This was a very highly orchestrated attack. It required logistics, explosives, arms, ammunition, planning. They had the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attack 10 months ago. What did the French Department of Defense do in these 10 months? The question is, how many people have to die until we'll get the job done to secure our countries? In Israel, the philosophy is everyone gets checked, even Israeli civilians. We don't care about profiling or color or race. No one cares. No one checks for that. We're looking for suspicious behavior. You know, some places they won't scan the bags. They'll just look at you and change a few words with you and see if you're raising anything that is strange in your voice or behavior or you're trying to avoid. So we're looking for special signals that people are trained on. I think Australia needs to upgrade their measures. I think this country is very nice and way too polite and too naive. I think that we need to increase all levels of security at all public places. People need to open their eyes and collaborate. Share information. All agencies need to share information as well. A terrorist attack can just be any given moment, anywhere, any public place. Listen, if you think about the Sydney siege, what, people go to a coffee. You think they're going to wake up in the morning and their imagination, are they ready for a terrorist attack? No. This is what I'm saying. It can just happen anywhere, anytime. So we need to raise the level of awareness of the civilians. If they see something, to report it, even from the Muslim community. For example, I'm from Israel, and every child knows that an abandoned bag may be a bomb. The Madrid bombing that happened on the train, 300 people died. People left their baggage on the trains and left. You want to tell me no one saw people boarding that train, leaving bags and getting off without taking their luggage? That's what I'm saying. People need to be aware of anything that's abnormal to make sure they can report it. And if they did see something, say, hey, you left your luggage. Hey, what? Why did you leave that? You forgot that. And if he's going to start running away, he doesn't want his bag. You know, the civilians are the first line of defense because there's like walking cameras. You have millions of people that are walking cameras. A human has senses. And if people will just use those senses, you know, you can save a lot of lives.
Yeah, I don't understand why some clips are cutting off at the end there. But that's important. That is the point here. The point here is that these are terrorists. And like I said at my analysis at the beginning of the broadcast, which is why I put the analysis at the beginning, these are 20% of people who are causing 80% of the bad. The media coverage is 80% bad. And I'm not saying that that is factually accurate, but 20% of the people are doing bad in the sense of the religion itself. If we're going just at religion, look back to the numerous numbers of broadcasts and attacks that I've had to deal with in the past. It is sickening. It is awful. It is bad for humanity. In a time where we have to be one human race, apparently. Now, you may identify as whatever you want to be, but let's just look at human race on a basic instinct level for one goddamn second and put behind us some of the ridiculous labels or whatever we put on society. Let's strip society back to one earth. If we are one earth that wants to live in peace and harmony, which is what religion teaches us, by the way. We should endeavor to do that. We shouldn't endeavor to scream hate out from the windows, regardless of these attacks or not. It's just sad that an attack like this, the attack like Sydney Sage, and I said that back then, and I could have sworn I said this back when I covered the Boston bombings the day it happened, the Sydney Siege the day it happened, the Paris attacks the week it happened, that we all have to come together as one and mitigate this behavior. These people want war. I'm not denying that fact. But when the peace of humanity is to not have war, we're allowing this to happen by default. If we're encouraging this behavior, we are allowing war, which goes against nature and what nature intended as well. We must admit that. Otherwise, we're just living in some sort of fantasy land. Anyway, that is my two cents anyway. As we continue here on GLS, we will sum up our coverage of these Sage bombings. We'll inform you what infamous Pauline Hanson had to say on the topic and what is next for Syrian refugees. As we continue...
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday here on The Generic Live Show. Whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive, we do appreciate you joining us. Yes, we are continuing to cover the Paris attacks that happened over the past week. Yes, we are. Now, the media. The US media has decided that this is what they're going to decide that the outcome of all of this is. The outcome of all of this is, and there is a big push in the media from the American left and the American right, mind you, to close the US borders, and it's all about Syria and Syria refugees. Now, the big argument here is that should we take in, the important question is, should we take in any more refugees from Syria? This is the question. I don't know the answer to that question. Sitting here on a Wednesday, 22 states have decided that they are not going to continue getting Syrian refugees, presumably Muslim refugees. That is what's happened. That is a fact. Now, instead of, and President Obama said the morning of the attacks that ISIS is contained. That is what he said. That's outrageous to say that ISIS is contained and then they go and do something like this. Yes, I understand it is radicalism at its finest. But, you know, there is a little bit of a kind of disconnect there and naivety. I don't know the answer to the question, should we take in any more Syrian refugees? Malcolm Turnbull has said that yes, they will take in more refugees. However, they will tighten up their security efforts. Now, do I believe that? Sure I do. I'm led to believe that that is what they're doing. Should they not take in any more Syrian refugees? Maybe. I don't know. But the point of the matter is that we've seen what these people have done. We see what these people can do. That should be enough to deter anyone from allowing a particular race of people into your country that are of that background, mind you. Now, I'm not saying we should religiously discriminate against people. That is not what I'm saying here, because, like I said, that 80-20 rule overrides here. But there has to be a screening and vetting process put in place. That is what needs to happen. We cannot leave our borders open to this kind of behavior. That is a definite. Now, should we shut ourselves off from everyone in the world? No, because as it turns out, we are an international culture. That is who we are, and that is how it should be continued. Trust me, that is we should be an international culture. Hey, and even Democrats in the United States are going against what Obama's stance on this. And they're all saying that France is their oldest ally. Well, your oldest ally is in trouble. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to say you provide logistical support, whereas they are the people who had to bomb Syria. I had to break it to you, gang, but Paris was the one who did it. French were the ones who did it first. That's the reality of it, and that is what is unfortunately happened. And in the 30 seconds we have left here, I want to kind of recap on what has kind of gone down here in Paris. What we know that 129 people have died from the attacks that happened around the Paris metropolitan area on Friday. The mastermind behind has been labeled as Belgian Abdelhamid Aboud. I'm not saying that name correctly for a reason. A siege has taken place outside of what is believed to be his apartment. Two people have been killed, including a woman who exploded her own suicide vest. 7 people have been taken under arrest from those attacks. President Hadal has told Parliament that attacks were an act of war and said that France is committed to destroying Islamic State. The French military campaign against the Islamic State in Syria is set to intensify. The Islamic State sent a video warning that they will strike Washington, D.C. And more than 20 governors, 22 states as well, says that Syrian refugees will not be coming into their states following these deadly attacks. As we continue here on GLS, well, we do have regular programming, which is a little bit lighthearted than this. Well, but there is still some depressing news going on in the world. Is Australia in for another El Depression? Maybe. Some big businesses make some really, really tough calls. As we continue here on GLS, it's 11:01.